Hi, everybody. Welcome to our weekly blether in anticipation of our joint service of worship. It's a delight to have all of you join us for this time together. And before we jump into worship, we'll do our quick catch up with one another to hear what's going on in our respective charges and have a bit of a chat. So we'll start, first of all, with our good friend, Neil Mayer of Kintore. Neil.
Thank you, Joshua. Yes, things are going well at Kintore. Our services in person are starting to increase slightly in numbers, so that's good. Although we're still on Zoom and of course on these recorded services, but our halls are now in the process of opening, and our hall users are starting to have conversations about when they can come in and what the rules will be. The significance of that, of course, is that there are some things that we as the church use the halls for, such as Messy Church. We're already planning for Messy Church to be back in person from after the summer, and probably a similar timing, although possibly a little bit sooner, our drop-in center as well. Just to say that for the last two Fridays, our drop-in, which has been on Zoom for a year, our drop-in has decamped to the pub, the square pub at across the road from the church, where they've very kindly made space available for us on a Friday morning to have our coffees. And so that's been really super to be able to see each other in person.
That's lovely. Thank you, Neil, for sharing that. Fiona, please.
Yes. So here in Kemeny, the in-person services are continuing every couple of weeks. So the next one will be on the 30th of May. Once again, please make sure you do book your spot. And also there have been a few conversations going along in the background to do with Magnitude, which is the youth event, and Vicky Steigant, who is the Presbytery Youth Coordinator, has been looking to see if there would be any interest for some form of satellite camp event to go around this. So it's aimed at mainly at secondary school age children, although possibly some maybe more slightly more mature P7s might be interested as well. Certainly the in-person event has gone down very well in the past. And last year we did have an online gathering in somebody's shed with all the doors opened and socially distant with the speakers and some of the singing from the event. It's a fun event, and if you are interested, then you do please get in touch with your minister and let them know, and we can get names kind of passed on, see what level of interest there is. We would be looking to connect with others within the presbytery as well, and possibly externally. It's sort of all very much up in the air and in the planning stages. It's the end of July, so 24th to 28th of July is the deal.
Very good. Thank you, Fiona, for sharing that. Ewan?
Well, when I'm speaking to you now, I'll have already had one day at the General Assembly. Sheila and myself are attending the General Assembly, and it's been quite confusing to folk to say, yes, I'm going to the General Assembly, but I'm staying at home. I will be at the Assembly, so I won't be doing any pastoral work during this coming week, and I'm grateful to my colleagues around the screen here that are going to help out if necessary. But please phone me first, and then I'll pass you on to one of my colleagues. It's great. Thank you to Josh and Neil for agreeing to help out with that. The work in the church continues. Mainly music is now meeting 2 days a week. Tuesdays, I think, is an outdoor event, and Wednesdays is in the village hall, which is great to have them back to do just, I think the Wednesdays is for the very young group and the Tuesdays is for the all under five. So it's encouraging. And next Sunday, we're going to have our first live communion service in both churches, but it is not going to be a big card communion. It's not going to be an invitation sent out. I'm only going to use it to sort of practice, if I'm totally honest, how best to do it. So it'll just be the folk that turn up for the regular worship will share the sacrament until we work out the safe way to do it. So that's what's happening in Manamusk and Cluny. So we look forward to that.
Very good, Ewan. Thank you. And thanks to all for sharing what's going on. We are also mindful this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, when we mark the falling of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' disciples, empowering them for the task of ministry to go and preach the good news to all nations. And I think it's also on this day that we can pray fervently together, especially as we lean into General Assembly for the Spirit-led renewal of Christ's church here in Scotland. So we pray for that in the time to come. But friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, be glad in it, and enter in to worship together now.
Good morning. Hear our call to worship today. As your apostles gathered together in Jerusalem at Pentecost, so we gather together today to worship you. We ask you to once again visit us with your Holy Spirit, to come as a rushing wind to sweep away the barriers, to come like tongues of fire to set our hearts aflame, to come in our speech to set apart and unite the babble of our tongues, to come with love that overlaps the boundaries of race and nation, and to come with the power from above to make our weaknesses strong. Come, Holy Spirit, as we worship our Lord today. Our Bible reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, reading from verse 1. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
When I was 8 years old, a South African, Jody Scheckter, won the Formula One Drivers' World Championship in a Ferrari. I was smitten. An immediate Formula One fan and a Ferrari lover forever. I collected Ferrari model cars, piled up glossy Ferrari coffee table books, and I read all I could about the marque. I discovered that the man behind the cars, Enzo Ferrari, was himself a remarkable character. Fanatical about motor racing, Ferrari had tried his hand as both a driver and as a mechanic, but proved to be no more than mediocre at either discipline. Where his real talent lay, however, was that he could spot talent in others and then get the very best out of them. And so he went about gathering a team of the finest designers, engineers, and drivers, first with Alfa Romeo and later with his own company, Scuderia Ferrari. In the late 1940s, as he was just starting out, two designers dominated Italian racing cars, Gioacchino Colombo, who had been with Ferrari at Alfa, and Aurelio Lampredi, who was the new rising star. These two men could not have been more different in their approaches. Colombo liked to tinker with every detail of his engines until something worked, making them smaller and faster and more technical as he went. Lampredi, who had started out building aeroplane engines, liked his engines clean, simple, and above all, big. Rather than pin his hopes on one designer and let his competitors have the other, Ferrari decided to employ both men. And then, rather than force one designer to conform to the pattern of the other, instead he gave each man free rein, pitting them against each other in open competition, and sometimes in open hostility, to turn out the best possible racing engines. The result was that for a period of about 7 years, while Colombo and Lampredi worked together, Ferrari was able to unleash a flood of creativity that established the company's reputation as a world-beating race team and would ultimately lead to the production of some of the fastest and finest racing and sports cars throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. You see, the team worked because of Ferrari's ability to harness the best out of two polar opposite geniuses. Now, in the beginning of the Bible, there are a number of origin stories in Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 11, we encounter one of these origin stories. In this particular story, the people of the world gather on the plain of Shinar and decide to build a city with a tower that will reach to the heavens. It's their vanity project, by which they mean to deify themselves. But God comes among them to confuse their language. Soon they're unable to understand each other and they begin to quarrel. They abandon their shared project and scatter in language groups to every corner of the world. It's an origin story that is intended to explain war, fear, conquest, and oppression between nations. It teaches us that we fight because we're so very different. Fearful and suspicious of others who babble or babble in strange languages, we make war because we simply don't understand one another. The story of Pentecost, which we read and which we celebrate today, is often understood as a reversal of the incident at the Tower of Babel, where the confusion of languages led to separation and fear, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit brings unity and love. At Babel, the people scattered across the world because they could not understand each other. Pentecost, people from across the world are united because they can all understand the words of the apostles. So is this the message of Pentecost then? That when the Holy Spirit appears, all divisions are done away with, and because suddenly and at last we are all speaking the same language. We're all the same. Well, this is a compelling interpretation and certainly one that goes some way to describing what God's Spirit does. After all, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. And if that is so, then of course, pouring such love into a community will bring about peace and healing, wholeness, everything that's encapsulated in the Hebrew word shalom. After all, how can you go on hating and fearing someone once there is love between you? As John says, perfect love drives out all fear. But there's more. There is a nuance to the story of Pentecost that suggests there may be more here than meets the eye. Because you see, the story does not say that everybody ended up speaking the same language. Instead, what the story of Pentecost tells us is that Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, all heard the disciples speaking about God's deeds of power, and they did so in their own languages. In their own languages. See, it seems that the way the Holy Spirit binds people together into a community at Pentecost is not by removing their differences, their separate speech and separate identities, but by getting them to be together despite their differences. Just as Enzo Ferrari got the best out of his designers by allowing them each to pursue their own agendas alongside each other, so the Holy Spirit seems to take delight in bringing together the greatest diversity possible without cramming it all into a single mold. We don't know whether the Pentecost story was an actual historical event or whether it's Mark's poetic way of talking about the real miracle that happened in the early church, namely the way that the gospel was able to spread. But either way, the point Luke is making is the same, that the Spirit of Christ moved in the early church in such a hospitable way that everyone could be welcomed without first needing to conform to a particular stereotype. And indeed, the story, the evidence is in the how the story ends, because soon the church was abuzz with slaves and free men, men and women, children and elderly, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor. There was space for everyone in this new movement. So here's the first lesson we can hopefully learn from the story of Pentecost today. God likes diversity. And this cuts two ways. For yourself, it means that you don't have to try to be something you're not to be included in God's family. There isn't some ideal to which you need to conform before you can hear the good news of God's love. For others, it means that you don't get to add a whole lot of entry requirements for them. God's family is diverse. They're not all going to be like you, or think like you, or agree with you. But there is more still. See, when I was checking my research for this sermon, I very nearly abandoned the analogy of the Ferrari racing team, because it turns out that the story did not have a happy ending. Both Colombo and Lampredi eventually left the team, embittered by their rivalry. So I thought, well, that's not a great way to end the story. I mean, that's not like Pentecost at all, because surely at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit heals all our divisions and everybody gets along. But actually, when you look at the story of the early church more closely, and you look in the book of Acts, you discover that the early church was full of Columbos and Lampredis. There were all sorts of divisions that persisted within the early church even after Pentecost. There were divisions based on ethnicity and culture, divisions of leadership, divisions over models of mission. They argued over circumcision, over communion, over money, over baptism. What made them different from the racing team was not that they didn't continue to disagree, because they did. What made them different was that they remained bound together by love. And so here's the second lesson, which we can hopefully learn about from Pentecost today. This is that love doesn't mean that you suddenly agree with everything, about everything. It means that you stay connected with one another and committed to each other, even in those times when you don't agree. And sometimes the most beautiful things emerge out of the diversity that we're able to share with one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Gentleness is the dove. Touch us with love and teach us to see. Joy to you, Lord above. Your voice, the sound heard in the wind. O'er fields and hills you sing. Now I can hear the joy in my Lord, the peace your song will bring. Spirit of God, unseen as a wind, gentle as is the dove. Touch us with love and teach us to sing. Joy to you, Lord.
Shall we pray? We thank you, Holy Spirit of God, sharing in all creation from the very beginning of space and time and matter. We thank you by whom Mary was chosen, Jesus was born and anointed and filled. He embraced suffering and death and was glorified. The church was born. We thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for life transformed and made new. For old thoughts giving way to new dreams, old ways giving place to new life in Christ, old sins giving way to new graces, old caution giving way to new courage, old fears giving way to new confidence. We thank you for your life among the first of disciples, for Peter, James, and John transformed by you. We thank you for the new life amongst the next followers in Paul and Barnabas and Timothy. We thank you for the long succession of followers and saints stretching down the ages, all made new by your power. We thank you for those who trained us in the faith and encouraged us and called us to new life. Holy Spirit, ever making life new, the living power of Christ within us, come. Claim us for yourself. Yours we are, now and every day, for the rest of our lives into eternity. Thanks be to God. We are here, Lord, and you have brought us. And now we bring to you those in need of our prayers, the sick, the bereaved, the anxious. Come, Holy Spirit, to those in distress. To those afraid, bring comfort, bring peace. Come to us when we seek to help, guide our words and the ways in which we care. We are here, Lord, and you brought us here. And now we bring to you the needs of our society, which seeks new values and a sense of purpose in an unstable and changing world. Come, Holy Spirit, bring neighbourliness into communities. Bring hope to our young people. Bring harmony where there is discord. We are here, Lord. You have brought us here. And now we bring the world to you, our world, where millions battle with hunger, our world divided between rich north and poor south, between developed and underdeveloped, powerful and powerless, split by religious divides. Come, Holy Spirit. Blow down the barriers that divide us. Bring us face to face with those in the world who need our concern. We are here, Lord, and you have brought us as your church, Your Holy Spirit has breathed into us and given us a message for the whole earth, a message of hope, of love, of forgiveness, of joy and salvation, of peace. We pray for your church in all the different ways that people gather. And this week we pray for your Church of Scotland meeting in General Assembly. May the power of your Spirit rest upon the commissioners in the decisions they make that will influence the future of the church in this land. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us up with your love. Bind us together. Bind us to God. Make each one of us complete in you. Spirit of God, breathe into our lives. Breathe into the church. Breathe into the world. We pray through the Spirit in gratitude to God and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us continue to pray using the words that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now go out with God's blessing to be the community of the resurrection, to be the community of hope. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.